If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to Genesis 22. A very familiar story for us there. Really, this morning, a single verse that we're going to consider from it. A verse that caught my attention this past week as I read this story again. A verse that God has settled in my heart. And really, the subsequent challenge then that comes with it as it relates to how we're to live as the people of God. In Genesis 22, Abraham is tested. That's how many of our Bibles headline chapter 22. That's how many of them title the chapter. Abraham tested. He's commanded by God to take Isaac, his only son, whom he loved dearly, and sacrifice him on a mountain in the region of Moriah. And we know the story. Abraham takes Isaac, lays him on the altar, raises the knife to slay him, only then to hear the voice of the Lord calling his name once more, Abraham, Abraham. In verse 12, do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you've not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. When asked by Isaac earlier in the story, Father, I see the wood, I see the fire, but where is the sacrifice? Abraham responded, God himself will provide that, and surely God did. When all is done, the offering is made to the Lord, the ram is sacrificed, and even the mountain is renamed in honor of the Lord. Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. It's not our message this morning, but oh, it's a good message. Isn't it interesting that the place of Abraham's great testing becomes the place named for God's great provision? I believe that that's a promise that you and I can take hold of as well. That for you and for me, in the midst of our difficulty, in the midst of our testing, in the midst of our season of life that is filled with trial and trouble, hold on, persevere, don't give up. And watch and see how God provides for you so that your great difficulty becomes renamed, identified, and described by God's goodness and by God's provision. I pray that you take hold of that today. I believe that's a word apart from the message this morning for somebody in the room. You find yourself on the mountain of your testing. Difficulty, trouble, the struggle is real for you there. But I'm telling you, if you'll hold on, if you'll persevere, you will come to see God's provision for you so that that mountain won't be defined anymore by your trouble or by your struggle, but instead by God's provision, by his goodness and blessing in your life. When all is done, this then, from the Good News Translation, verse 15, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time. I make a vow by my own name, the Lord is speaking, that I will richly bless you because you did this and did not keep back your only son from me. I promise that I will give you as many descendants as there are stars in the sky or grains of sand along the seashore. Your descendants will conquer their enemies. Verse 18, here's our verse. All the nations will ask me to bless them as I have blessed your descendants, all because you obeyed my command. The picture that immediately came to my mind was our family, our children. If one gets something, you better believe all the rest feel they deserve the same. Dad, you picked up Savannah and Sabella from school and you took them to McDonald's. When are you going to do that for me, Dad? When is it my turn? When do I get to get picked up early? When do I get McDonald's? And it actually even turns into this. Dad, You owe me. Why don't you pick me up today, Dad? Why don't you pick me up from school? Why don't you take me to McDonald's? Remember, Dad, you owe me. This child of ours is sitting back there in the back, but I don't want to name him lest I embarrass him. We were getting McDonald's just the other day. He was going to go to school to work out later the same day, so he didn't want a stomach full of McDonald's when he's getting ready to go to work out. So when we're getting McDonald's, he said, and I quote, "I don't want anything." And I said, and I quote, "Are you sure you don't want something, son? Some fries, just a little lunch. I don't want anything." Later that night, though, you guessed it. "Dad, you're getting me McDonald's, right? You got everyone else McDonald's today. Dad, here it is. You owe me." That's the picture of this in Genesis 22. All the nations, seeing what God does for Abraham, seeing what God does for his descendants, and going then to God, "God, I want the same. God, do that for me. God, bless me like that." That the picture, this the word that immediately came to my mind when I read this earlier this week. It was the word jealous. It's maybe a little bit strange. I hope not inappropriate. And I actually believe it's what the Lord put in my heart. Because it was as if immediately, before I even had the message, I had the title of it, "Make Them Jealous." All the nations will ask me to bless them as I've blessed your descendants. All the nations will see what I do for you, Abraham. They'll see all I do for your descendants, and they'll be jealous. They'll want my blessings for themselves. They'll want me. They'll ask me to bless them like I've blessed you. We're not going to spend a lot of time here, but it's interesting to note, from Israel, from Abraham's descendants, from the Jewish people to the Gentile church, there's a great reversal, if you will, of this jealousy. It all comes full circle, we could say. So in Genesis, all the nations of the world will be jealous of Israel. All the nations of the world will be jealous of the Jewish people. Why? Because God's hand is upon them and his blessing is upon them. Because they're his people. They're living in covenant relationship with him. And all the jealousy is purposeful, if we could say it like that. All of it intended to make the nations of the world turn to God. They will see Israel in relationship with God, and they'll turn to God. "God, bless me like you've blessed them. God, we want to be in relationship with you like they are. We want to be your people like they are, so you can bless us like you have them." But now, watch this. Into the New Testament, to the book of Romans, a new covenant. Now, God's saving Gentile people. God saving, as it were, the rest of the world. He's working in them. He's working among them. He's blessing the Gentiles. His hand is upon the Gentile people, specifically his Gentile church. And why is he doing that? Is it because he's given up on the Jews? They had their chance, but they betrayed him. They rejected him. They crucified his own son. So, of course, God's turned to the Gentiles because he's rejected the Jews, right? Surely that's what God does in response to them treating him like they did, doing to his son like they did. He's saving Gentiles because he's done with the Jews. He's quit on them, given up on them, right? No, in fact, not that at all. He's saving Gentile people. He's saving you and me. He's blessing us. He's working in us, on us, and among us. And why? Here it is. It's a purposeful jealousy again. Romans chapter 11 and verse 11. Does this mean that God has rejected his Jewish people forever? Of course not. His purpose was to make his salvation available to the Gentiles. Watch this. And then the Jews would be jealous and begin to want God's salvation for themselves. It really is jealousy come full circle. God blessing the Jewish people so that all who weren't his people would want to be. It's a good thing to be in relationship with God. After all, it's a good thing to be his people. Look what God's doing with Abraham. Look what he's doing with Isaac. Look what he's doing with Jacob. Look at how he delivers his people from Egypt, from the bondage there. It's a good thing to have God's hand upon you and his blessing made available to you. Now, still the same intent, though the roles have been reversed. Now, God's blessing you and me. We were once not his people. We were once far away, but because of Jesus and his work at Calvary, we've been brought near. We've been made the people of God, sons and daughters. Now God's blessing is on us. Now God's working in us so that all who aren't his people now would want to be. It's a good thing to be in relationship with God after all. It's a good thing to be his people. It's a good thing to have his hand upon you and his blessing made available to you. That's the message this morning. I believe without question or doubt, this is the absolute truth of Scripture. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless me. More specifically, better really to say it this way, God wants you so blessed that all the people around you are jealous of you and are turning to God because of you. I want to be in relationship with God like you are. I want what you have. I want my life to look like yours. I want the blessings of God to be made available to me. God, I want you to save me like you've saved them. I want you to bless me like you've blessed them. I believe that. It's our message this morning. I believe the blessings of God can be tangible, physical, very evident, put your hands on it kind of things. Unless I miss my guess, all that I've said thus far, probably the blessings that you're right now thinking of, the tangible things. For Abraham, they were certainly that. Abraham, 100 years old, walking around with a miraculously birthed son, all the people would know, Abraham is blessed of God. Abraham with all of his wealth, in his day, it's all the cattle, all the sheep, all the goats. Everybody would have known Abraham is blessed of God. Abraham favored wherever he goes. It's interesting. It's really even downright strange. Once with Pharaoh, another time with Abimelech. Abraham deceives. He lies. He and Sarah connive a plan. We'll tell everyone you're my sister so they won't kill me so they can have you. And yet, it's the Egyptians that are afflicted. It's Abimelech's house as well. And Abraham walks away with Pharaoh's blessing. Nobody mess with Abraham, with Abimelech's stuff, more sheep, more cattle, 1,000 shekels of silver, all to cover any offense against Abraham or Sarah. It's as if the favor of God is so on Abraham, even when he does wrong, even when he messes up, he's still favored. He's still blessed. Abraham will go to rescue his nephew Lot. This is how the story plays out. 5 kings will align themselves against 4 others. And the 4 are so great that though they are outnumbered, they defeat the 5. Sodom and Gomorrah were part of the 5. Lot lived there and is captured. So Abraham, with 318 men, go to fight the 4 kings that 5 kings couldn't defeat. And he routs them, the Bible says, and saves Lot. That's the tangible favor of God upon Abraham. It didn't matter the odds. It didn't matter the numbers. He was going to be victorious. Abraham was blessed with wealth, riches, health, and long life, the tangible kinds of things. Eventually, descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. 3 million Israelite slaves walk out of Egypt after having plundered it. All the known world of their day knew that God was with them. And they trembled in fear at this band of nomads wandering through the desert. I believe it. God would bless us like that today. He would. He does. The better job. The job you get that you don't deserve. You're not qualified for it. You get it though others better than you applied for it. Yes, God does that. God would favor you like that. More money. Bigger bank account. Healthier retirement. Stock portfolios. Better car. More square footage on your home. Nicer stuff. Newer stuff. Lest you're confused, listen to me. Let me clarify. I'm no TV preacher, but I believe that. Yes, God does bless like that. Yes, God does make you wealthy. The miraculous in your life. What you're unqualified for. What you're too old for. What you're not talented enough for. But what you get because God favors you like that. Does the miraculous for you like that. You better believe it. Yes, God does. He does do like that for you and for me. Listen, wealth and health, God blesses like that. His blessing and His favor evidenced in you and on you in the tangible, in the physical, what you can see, what you can put your hands on. God blesses like that. Wealthy, healthy, blessed and favored, and everyone can see it, and everyone knows it kind of way. God does that so that all who do see it and do know it become jealous of you because of it. Look at you. Clearly, it's a good thing to be in relationship with God. That's how much is in your bank account? Surely, it's a good thing to belong to God. That's the report you got from the doctor? Wow, look at you. It sure must be good to belong to the Lord. All God's given to you. All God's done for you. And His blessings made available to your life. They see that. They become jealous of that. I want to know your God. I want to be in relationship with Him so He can bless me like He's blessed you. God blesses like that, the healthy and wealthy kind of way. It's not our message this morning. But before we get to that, make sure you don't miss this. God would bless His people. God would bless you like that. Now, this for us. All the nations will ask me to bless them as I have blessed your descendants. Apart from the blessing that everyone thinks of when they think of God's blessing. Apart from the I'm blessed and here's my great job to show that I am. Because not all of us have that. Not all of us have our dream job. Where we would show everyone, look how much God has blessed me. Because look at this great job I have. I'm blessed. Here's my big bank account to show that I am. Not all of us have that. I'm blessed and here's my clean bill of health. Not a problem, not a pain to show that I am. Not all of us have that. Apart from all that, what about this? What about the blessing that comes from our salvation in and because of what Jesus has done for us? We've been forgiven of all our sins. the picture of Scripture, God has sunk them to the deepest part of the deepest ocean. Really, it's even better than that. God's not just covered our sin, not even by all the ocean waters. He's removed them, washed them all away by the precious blood of Jesus. I love this story, a much-loved priest who carried the burden of a secret sin from years before. He had repented but still felt no peace, no sense of God's forgiveness. In his congregation was a woman who deeply loved the Lord and who claimed to have visions in which Jesus would come, meet with her, and speak to her. The pastor was skeptical but also intrigued. He made his request of her, "The next time you're with Jesus, would you ask him about my sin?" The woman agreed. It was sometime later the priest met with her again. "Well, did Jesus visit you in your dreams? Did you talk to him? Did you ask him about my sin? What did he say about that?" To which the woman simply replied, "He said, I don't remember that." We have been forgiven. Our sins washed away. We've not only been forgiven of our sin, but rescued and redeemed from sin's grip. Sin no longer has a hold on us. The wages of sin is death, but those wages are no longer due us. Instead, ours is the gift of eternal life. We were once far away. We were once not a people, but now we are. We've been brought near. We've been made a people of God. We were once his enemies, but now we're his friends. We belong to him. We're sons and daughters. In that, we've been granted access to the Father, Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. We don't need an invitation. We don't need to wait till he calls us to come on in. We can go boldly into the throne room of mercy and grace to receive exactly that whenever we need that. We've been made a new creation. The old is gone. Newness of life has come. Doesn't matter who you were. You're not that anymore. You don't have to be bound by that. You don't have to be held captive to that. As his people, as his children, God's granted to us the life that he gives, the abundant life. More and better life than we could ever hope or dream for. We've been granted the ever-abiding presence of God by way of his Spirit. No wonder his promise, he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. How could he, after all, when by his Spirit he dwells with us and he dwells within us? One writes, "We cannot go where God is not. Look over your shoulder. That's God following you. Look into the storm. That's Christ coming toward you." We were dead in our sins, without hope, without God. But then he saved us, redeemed us, rescued us from our sin, made us alive, brought us from death to life, and now we belong to him. What about that? Pastor, I love the healthy and wealthy blessing, but my bank account doesn't show it. My job doesn't either. Square footage of my house is small. Cars broke down. Bill of health from the doctor is pages long of everything that's wrong. Ah, but my dear brother, my dear sister, what about the blessing? You as God's child, saved, redeemed, set free, granted abundant life. More and better life than you could ever dream of. Listen to me. The world out there doesn't have that. Don't fall prey. Well, look at their big house. No, they don't have abundant life. The nice house, the big house, doesn't bring abundant life. Jesus brings that. You, as God's people, get the blessing of that. They don't. Because we belong to him, we're his children. How about this? We live now under the blessing of his care. In Matthew chapter 6, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, about your body, what you'll wear. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They don't labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? So don't worry, not about what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll wear. The pagans run after those things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. In Matthew 10, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of the Father. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry, because you belong to him. And because you do, you live then under his care. How are you going to be afraid? Knowing that it's the God of heaven and earth that takes care of you. Remember the joy of being a child when we had no care, we had no concern, because we knew dad and mom were going to take care of us. You remember the pain of growing up? Now all of a sudden, I've got to pay that bill. I've got to go get the job. Remember the burden of that? Remember the thrill? Mom and dad take care of everything, and you weren't afraid. I'm telling you this morning, you have a Father in heaven who takes care of you. You don't need to worry. You don't need to be afraid. What are you going to worry about when it's him that's taking care of you? Is he not going to take care of you? Are you not worth more to him than the sparrow that falls, the grass of the field that's here today and gone tomorrow? If he's not going to take care of you, if you're not worth more to him than that, then worry, then be afraid, be very afraid. But if he is going to take care of you, which he says he is, and if you are the apple of his eye, most valuable to him, more important to him than any sparrow, if he's going to take care of you and provide for you all you need because he knows all you need, then you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry, not ever. You can live fear-free, you can live worry-free, and you can live carefree. 1 Peter chapter 5, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. We belong to him now. We're his people. We're in covenant relationship with God. And because we are, the blessing on us is this: his word, his promises are now for us. He's always with you, never leaves you, never forsakes you. That's his word. That's his promise for you. Listen, God hasn't forsaken you. Some of you wondering where God is in the midst of your difficulty. And I don't mean to make light of your circumstances, but I'm telling you, you need to stop that. You're his. You belong to him. His promises are for you. He is exactly where he always is, with you. He hasn't left you. Why are you feeling the need to look for him? He hasn't left you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. You belong to him. You're his child. He's not only with you, he's working all things good for you. That's his word. That's his promise for you, for me, his people. He's ever with us. The friend that sticks closer than a brother, ever working his good in us and for us, in all circumstances, in every situation. Listen, that's not true for the world out there. I remember seeing it, and I shared this with you before. I was substitute teaching, and there on the desk, a little plaque that read something along these lines: if it's not good in the end, then it's not the end. It's really a take off of Romans 8. All things work together for good. In the end, if it's not good, it's not the end. And I don't make judgment on this teacher, but I believe if they were here today, they would tell you they'd make no claim of being a Christian or being a follower of Jesus. Makes for a nice plaque to sit on the desk or a nice picture to put on a wall, but it's not true. That's not true. That's not true for them. It is true for you, because God says so. You have His promise. You have His word that in all things, listen, I wouldn't say it to her. I don't know if she had it on the desk to be an encouragement to students. It's a great encouragement, but it's not necessarily a true one. But I can say it on the authority of a God who does not lie. Listen to me. If it's not good in the end for you, my dear brother, my sister, then it's not the end. Because God has promised, and His promises are for you because you're His people and you belong to Him. You're a child of God. He works all things. That's His word for you that belong to Him. He promises us rest. He promises us comfort. He promises us mercies that are new every morning. He promises us wisdom if only we'd ask. He promises to grant us the desires of our heart as we would delight ourselves in Him. He promises us His Spirit. He promises us resurrection, power, and on and on and on the list would go. Christ, because of Christ, because in Christ you belong to God. Just like Abraham and his descendants were, you are now in Christ, the people of God, and all of His promises are yours. And the yes and the amen to each and every one of them has already been spoken in Christ. We belong to Him. We're His possession because we live under His protection. Listen, we are bought by His blood and covered now by it as well. He's our defender. He fights for us. Listen to the word of the Lord this morning. I pray that you would hear it. Some of you in the room, you need to hear it because you think the battle's yours and it scares you. You're fearful. You're intimidated by the giant, by the enemy army that's in front of you. And rightly you should be. If it were all up to you, if it were all on you, but it's not. Listen, hear the word of the Lord today. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the battle is not yours, but God's. You'll not have to fight this battle. You stand still. You stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. The song says it this way. You go before I know that you've even gone to win my war. You come back with the head of my enemy. You come back and you call it my victory. And all I did was praise. All I did was worship. All I did was bow down. All I did was stand still. He's our defender. He's our shield and buckler. As our shield, consider it. The truth that is this, nothing gets to us, but that it first goes through Him. He's our shield. He protects us. It can't get to us unless it gets through the shield. And it only gets through Him if it meets the requirements of His approval. Initially, that would be perhaps intimidating, even uncomfortable. What if His requirements of approval aren't the same as mine? What if He lets through what I wouldn't let through? We like the thought of being in control of all that. Recognizing that He is can be a little unsettling. It's kind of like this. We think God never gives us anything that's too much for us, but we wonder, what if He thinks too much of us? He thinks we can handle that? We can't handle that! We wonder, what if He's wrong? But He can't be wrong. He's the all-knowing God. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what's good for us, what's not. And hear the promise again. He always and only does what's good. Nothing gets to us, but that it first goes through Him. Intimidating, uncomfortable? Oh, not at all. Not if you consider that in light of His promises for you. What He promises to do in you, what He promises to do for you, what He promises to do even in any and every circumstance, good. It only gets through Him to you if He can work good in you and through you because of it. Because we belong to Him, He includes us, makes a place for us in His divine plan and purposes. This then, our newfound reality, He guides us. He directs us. Our steps are ordered of Him. Listen to me. You're not where you're at. You're not stuck in the middle of whatever you're stuck in because that's just where life has brought you and how life goes. No, there's a divine purpose where you are for what you're going through, for what you're dealing with. Listen, God's guiding you right now. He's directing you right now. God's working in you and through you right now. But Pastor, my life is a mess. But Pastor, there's this sickness I can't shake. There's this pain. But Pastor, there's this frustration. But Pastor, there's this obstacle. You need to listen to me. Your steps are ordered of God. God's helping you. God's teaching you. God's preparing you. God's strengthening you. As you live your life in Him, He's always doing that. No matter your circumstances, you can rest assured of that. Even the most difficult, the most chaotic, the most bewildering of life circumstances. You might not understand it. You might not be able to see it. But because you're living your life in Him, because He's your God and you're His people, you can rest assured. You can face life, even every situation, fully confident that He's working. Your steps are ordered of Him. You are exactly where He wants you to be so that He can fulfill His good and perfect plan and will in you and for you. It's not resigning yourself to your circumstances. It's not pie in the sky kind of thinking. To be at rest wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, confident and fully assured that even there, even now, God is working His plan in you, through you, and for you. How about the blessing that's that? How about the blessing that is this? We belong to Him. We get what's His. We get His joy, the joy of the Lord. It's complete joy all the time, not a joy based on circumstances, not a joy based on life's ups or downs. It's His joy. It's complete joy in every situation, in all circumstances. It's an all-the-time joy that results in all-the-time rejoicing. It's the word of the Lord. Listen, my brother, my sister, hear the word of the Lord this morning that remains for you and for me today. No matter your situation, and I don't make light of it, no matter your circumstances, and I don't mean to deny the difficulty of them, no matter how much good, no matter how much the bad, no matter our health, no matter our lack thereof, no matter our possessions, no matter our poverty, this the word of the Lord for you and me, rejoice in the Lord always. Paul, that's crazy. Again, I say, rejoice. That's the joy that is ours because we belong to Him, and what He has, what He possesses, He gives then to us. He gives us His peace. John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I don't give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. His is a peace that frees us from worry, from anxiousness, from uneasiness. A peaceful heart, never one troubled by our circumstances. I don't mean to say this to bring shame or guilt or condemnation. We've been there. We're all guilty. In fact, let me just say it for me. Whenever I let my heart be troubled and fear-filled because of what's going on around me, I've missed the possessing what is mine because I'm His, and because then what's His, He's given to me in the midst of my trouble. Jesus stands before me and extends to me His peace. And here, me, in the midst of the trouble, what else is back there? Oh, I see some trouble. I see some fear. I see some anxiousness and worry. No, you go ahead and keep the peace for yourself. I'm gonna take those things. I wouldn't say this of you, I'd say it of me. Wow, what a bonehead I am sometimes. Why do I do that? When He extends to me peace, why do I push Him aside so that I can take hold of the worry and the fear and all the rest that I'd rather not have? His peace comes from him having overcome the world. The world can't take it away, nor can any circumstances, because it's his peace, because he's overcome the world. It's his peace, and his peace is greater. The world can't take it away, no matter the world and its trouble. His peace endures because his peace is greater, because he's the overcomer. No wonder it's a peace that passes all understanding. He's the God of all hope, who fills us with joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we overflow with hope, his hope, by the power of his Spirit. He's the God of all comfort, who comforts us with his comfort, so that then we can even comfort others with the comfort we've received from him. How about the blessing that is that? Pastor, I don't have the big bank account. Pastor, I don't have the good job. I don't have the clean bill of health. How about the blessing that is belonging to him, this blessing that then is ours, his victory over death he gives now to us. We live in no fear, not even of death, because we know in Jesus we've been made the people of God. And because we belong to him, he's blessed us. He's given to us the same victory that Jesus experienced over death in the grave. And so then one day, our body might sleep, but our spirit will be with him. In the flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, we will be changed. And we'll sing the eternal victory song then, death swallowed up by triumphant life. Listen, I'm telling you, your loved ones that have passed on in the faith, you wonder about them, you miss them dearly. I understand all of that. You go to the graveside to honor them and to remember them, but I just remind you this morning, they are not there. They're in the presence of the Almighty God, singing the victory song, death swallowed up in victory. Who got the last word? Oh, death, who's afraid of you now? We live because he does. And because it's his people, his victory is our victory. Let me remind you today, dear church, listen to me. This earth is not your home. Fear death? No way. Death is the doormat we walk over to get home. Why would we fear that? Like Paul, we're anxious for that, anxious to go home and only wanting to stay here and as much as we can serve others here. Like John, we cry out, oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus. In the midst of life down here that can be so troublesome, let me remind you, there is a place being prepared for you right now in heaven. And the Lord to tarry, it'll be death that ushers you to that place. Do you see? We don't fear it. We welcome it. Dare I even say it? We rejoice in it. I could go on and on. We're his people. We're blessed. And his blessings are in fact too numerous to count, even fully identify. All that bringing us to this, our message this morning, live your life as a blessed people. Here it is, quickly back to earlier. Don't forget, God blesses in the tangible, the wealthy and the healthy. His blessing, his favor, reflected in your bank account, in your clean bill of health, in the size of your home, in the stuff that you have, the miraculous outcome. God blesses like that, but listen, he's the one that does that. Don't be surprised if he does it for you. Don't be embarrassed to ask him to do it for you. But listen, he's the one responsible for that blessing. Let me say it this way. It's up to him as to how you live your life as a tangibly blessed people. Hear though our message, all the rest, all the other blessings that are ours in him, the blessings apart from the money, apart from the job, apart from the possessions, apart from the blessing that everyone thinks of when they think of God's blessing, the salvation, the forgiveness of sin, the redeeming from it, the new creation he's made us to be, the newness of life he's given to us, his care, his promises, his joy, his peace, his hope, his comfort, his victory. Listen, here's the message this morning. Live in that. Live as a blessed people that has been blessed with all that. Make all those around you Make all those in the circle of your relationship, all those that are going through the same things you are, but just can't seem to handle it like you do, can't seem to live above it like you do, thrive through it like you do, make all of them jealous as they see how God has blessed you. Wealth and health, sure he might, but salvation and peace and joy and victory, oh, surely he already has. They'll see his blessing on you, how you live in that and under that, his blessing, his favor, and they'll want to know God like you do, so they can live in his blessing like you do. All of them will ask God to bless them like he's blessed you. Don't live like you don't have a Savior. You do. Don't live like you're just like everyone else. You're not. You live under the blood-bought protection of Jesus. Listen to me. Just on the side, me on my soapbox for a minute. I hear it from believers who talk this kind of talk. If I get COVID, I'm going to die. That's the world talk. You're listening too much to the world. It's for real. It's serious. People are dying. People get sick. I don't want it. I hope you don't get it. But listen, we don't talk that way. We're not a people of the world. We're a blood-bought people. We're a blood-protected people. We live under the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus. I dare COVID to come after me, because in the name of Jesus, I'll send it fleeing along with every other sickness, along with every other demon that would dare attack me, a blood-bought child of God. How dare that uncircumcised Philistine come after me? Who does he think he is? That's our talk. We don't live foolishly, but that's our talk, because we understand that. Don't live like you're just meandering through life without purpose. You're not. Your steps are ordered of the Lord. You live your life in him wherever you go. You can not only rest assured that he's there, but that he's got you there on purpose. Do you understand? You do that, and the world will be jealous of you. How in the world are you going to live like that? Don't you see that the world's a mess? How are you doing like that? How can you have that kind of joy? How can you have that kind of peace? Let me share it quickly from the negative. Can I ask you this? Why would they out there want your God if your life lived out there is no different from theirs? Why would they want or need your God if your God has no impact on the life you live out there? You're just as scared as they are. You're just as pessimistic. You're just as depressed. You're just as frustrated. You try to tell them all that God is, but all they see in your life is the same of their own. Now, how about from the positive? The world out there, the expression that's used, going to hell in a handbasket. But look at you. You're saved, redeemed, sins forgiven, a new creation, a newness of life. There's a joy that you have that the world can't take away, peace that passes understanding. Everyone's wondering about this, what about that, worried, afraid, ill at ease, but not you. God's your protector, your defender, your shield and buckler. This battle is not yours. It's his. All you have to do is praise. All you have to do is worship. All you have to do is bow down and stand still and experience the victory that he gives. Everyone's losing their job. The economy's failing. The stock market crashing. The world's gone crazy when that happens, but not you, because God is your Father. And if he knows the sparrow that falls and clothes the lily of the field in beauty, how much more he's going to take care of you. The world out there gone crazy, and everyone out there trying to build their life on a foundation that's no foundation at all, but not you. You're the people of God. His promises that can't fail are for you, and the sure, unshakable foundation that you build your life upon. And the world sees that and recognizes their way of living without God is no way of living at all, they'll be jealous of you. They'll want what you have. They'll want to be in a relationship with Jesus as you are. Wherever Abraham went, people recognized God was with him. And I'm telling you this morning, the same can be for you and me. Listen to me. Your life might be an absolute mess. Bad report from the doctor. No money in the bank account. Boss probably going to fire you tomorrow. And listen, God can bless you so that all that miraculously and supernaturally changed. But I'm telling you, even still before he changes it all for you, you're still, even now, in all the mess, a prime candidate to stir up some jealousy out there in the world. As you take your sick, pain-riddled, no job, no money self out there and live in the joy of the Lord, confident in his salvation, his care, his protection, his promises, his joy, his hope, his comfort, his victory. Live life like that. Live in his promise. Make them jealous. I would be in error if I didn't mention it. The posture of his blessing is obedience. All the nations will ask me to bless them as I've blessed your descendants, all because you obeyed my command. Listen to me this morning. We're done. God can't bless disobedience. God can't bless it. And there's nothing like disobedience that compromises all of the blessing that he's already given. You know that. Hard to live in the joy of the Lord when you know you're disobeying him. It's his blessing that's compromised because of the disobedience. Obey him. Live in his blessing. Make the world out there jealous of you. The blessing of God on you. So that they turn to him, know him, so that they can be blessed by him too. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray that it's conveyed properly. And God, that the thing that you laid on my heart is heard by this people today. I believe, God, you're inviting us. No matter the world around us, no matter the craziness of it, no matter the trouble in it, no matter the chaos that abounds, you're inviting us to live in this world in the blessing of our God as the people of God. And that in that, we would have an opportunity to be incredible testimony to all that would see us and encounter us. Lord, can we pray it this morning? Forgive us for when we failed that. You gave us an opportunity to show the world the joy of the Lord, the peace of God that passes understanding in the midst of one of life's difficulties, and we sort of messed that up. There was no joy, there was no peace, there was worry and fear and anxiousness and complaint and all the rest. We looked just like the world. We acted just like it. We're sorry for those moments. We're sorry when we've forgotten that we're a blessed people, no matter our bank account, no matter our health, no matter our job, no matter the miraculous work of God in us or on us. We're a blessed people, and we have an opportunity to show the world just how blessed we are. Help us to take hold of that today, so we can live our lives in the coming week making some people around us jealous, making them to come and say, oh, I want what you have. I want to know the God that you know so that he can bless me like he's blessed you. God, would you help us to live life like that, I pray. In Jesus' name. No longer slaves, we are children of God. That's the blessing. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. That's the blessing. Now, we go out there. Come on now, dear brother. What can bother you out there knowing that Jesus is yours? What can this world bring into your path that would sway you or shake you knowing I'm not a slave to fear. I'm a son. I'm a daughter of the Most High God. So we go out there and we live in the blessing of the Lord, and we make all those around us jealous to have what we have. And they'll turn to God and say, God, would you be my God too? So you can bless me like you've blessed them. I pray that we do that this week. I pray that the Lord helps us to do that this week. And I pray his blessing on you. Would you stand, extend your hands to receive this morning? This is the blessing of the Lord. I speak over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you and good to you. And the Lord turn to you and give to you his peace. In Jesus' name, receive that this morning. Would you say amen? Receive the blessing of the Lord today. Amen and amen.